Hey, Mr. One Stop, I'm looking for a record and it goes like this. Dun 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 dun.
Welcome to Addicted to the Needle,
the podcast where a vinyl addict meets his dealer. I'm your record dealer, Ben Shulman.
And I'm Patrick Foisy, the addict.
It was really hard. I was about to burp. We're each having a glass of Coke. And I didn't realize we were starting right then. And that was almost like a welcome to the... nothing like it's like 40 degrees with the Humidex outside. Nothing like a cold glass of Coke Zero. This episode is brought to you by the Coca-Cola Corporation.
Yeah, we're in a global heat wave. So it seems like all across the planet.
Yeah, I feel like all the British guys are freaking out. All their Northern Soul 45s are melting.
Warping.
Well, it's just funny because like every time I go on Twitter, it's just like, there goes the dog food. Yeah, every time I go on Twitter, I just kind of like end up in these like... sections about people complaining about like the heat in the United Kingdom, and man, that food just doesn't stop.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, the cat food is next.
The cat food. Okay. Ignore the food. I saw this great tweet where it was just like, oh, all you British people like complaining about the heat. It's like your ancestors had no problem when they were colonizing all the hot places around the world. And I was like, oh, that's
shout out to Jamaica.
Yeah, and India and. South Africa. Anyway, you know, the list goes on.
Since we last recorded an episode together, I put my hands on quite a stack of Jamaican records.
Well, that's because you were in Toronto, man.
That's right.
Toronto is like Canada's little Jamaica. I mean, like, you can probably find more Jamaican records in Toronto than in Jamaica. Like, well, a lot of stuff floating around Toronto.
I think I can say with total confidence that outside of Kingston, Jamaica, Toronto is the place to find Jamaican 45.
100%. Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, there's like, I think there's three stores in Toronto that are like dedicated to Jamaican 45. So,
yeah. Well, speaking of Toronto, that's the last DJ trip I did.
Yeah,
with one of my best friends, Mon Marty.
He's a good friend. I think Marty's like the best friend of the show.
Oh yeah. He's an honorary co-founder of Montreal.
He designed our logo.
He's the one who designed the logo for the show.
He's a good customer of mine.
And, of course, every time I head west to Toronto, I stop at one of our favorite digging spots, Henry's.
Henry.
Who is a native-born Jamaican.
Yes.
And he always sells me the... You know, anything on Coxone.
His store is overwhelming.
Prince Buster.
It's overwhelming.
Studio One.
So many 45s in there, man. Everything has like just like those the wall with the boxes. It's
and he has stories.
Yeah, because I mean, he's been at this like forever, you know. I mean, well, he's been living in Toronto for like probably 50 years or something, but it's always fun to talk to him because he like remembers like, you know, seeing Jackie Shane and like he was friends with Eddie Spencer, like all these people who are kind of like these mythical figures, like, you know, who we never got to have contact with. But like, you know, he's been in the scene for so long that it's like he knows all these guys. And he also just, God, he's got a lot of good soul 45s too. I've bought tons of good records from him over the years. I know you have.
Mm-hmm. We featured a bunch of them on this show.
Oh, I feel like we're probably going to feature one right now. Is that where we're going?
That's right. So, so he told me, so I went to see him on Thursday. I left Thursday morning.
Oh, yeah. I remember when you left.
Pretty early.
I remember... if I recall, correct me if I'm wrong, I remember meeting you in a McDonald's parking lot at like 7:30 in the morning to hand you off a 45 because you had to have it to go to Toronto.
Because I wanted to DJ it for the first time.
I feel like there's a lot of sarcasm in this episode. Yeah, so that was Do the Duck by The Autographs, which it's kind of funny how you've been asking me for that record forever, and I'm like, no, no, no. And then, like, I know you. You caught me when I was, like, kind of tired and out of it. You're like, hey, Ben, can I have that record? I'm like, oh, fine, whatever. And I was nice enough to come meet you in a McDonald's parking lot on the way to Toronto. Well, I mean, just on the outskirts of Montreal, but, like, you know, pretty close to my house. And I was going to my auto mechanic, which is down the street. So we did a little trade-off on, like, a foggy morning, just two sketchy guys outside the McDonald's in Dorion, Quebec.
Well, if you want, that's a great way to plug our
sponsorship from McDonald's?
Our Facebook page. So if you want to see a photo of me receiving the said 45, go in.
Quack, quack.
That's how it starts.
Oh, God, I love that single.
I totally went crazy on the stage at the Piston in Toronto when I first played it. And I asked Marty, you have to film it. You have to film it. And, of course, I rewatched
you,
it.
You and Marty are really, like, kismet, like, DJ brothers. Like, you two. Okay, so, yeah, I guess we'll kind of just. I showed up at your gig. Let's just get to that. Yeah,
that's right. What I totally forgot.
I forgot about that. I ended up being in the Toronto area, and after I had scarfed down some shawarma in my car, I was, like, half asleep. I had been digging, driving around since, like, 4 in the morning. I just walk into this club, and I'm like, hey, guys. It was cool. We hung out, had a cranberry juice, hung out for about an hour. But I was wondering, did it like kind of pick up a little bit later?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It was a great night.
Oh, fantastic. Because I was so worried because like I showed up at like maybe like 8:45 and hung out till like 10. And I was just like, oh, it was like kind of quiet. But I guess like
it filled up. Yeah.
Fantastic. I love that venue.
It was Canada Day. So we didn't know what to expect.
Well, that's what the bartender or the manager guy who when I was heading out, we talked outside for a bit and he was saying, he's like, yeah, you never know with like a kind of holiday weekend, like are people in town? Are they not? But the street looks so busy. That's cause like I drove down, what was it? Queen Street is on
blur. Yeah.
This is in downtown Toronto, the Piston. Yeah. And I noticed, I'm like, oh, there's tons of people out. So that's great. So it got busy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It ended up being a great night.
Oh, fantastic. I'm glad. I wish if I wasn't so tired, I totally would have stayed longer, but like I had been up driving since 4 in the morning.
And you know, I think the best compliment you can receive is usually from the staff. So as soon as we finished, we were, you know, gathering our things.
Yeah, and you're also the kind of guy, you'll DJ somewhere and like you'll start like cleaning up. I've yeah, seen that's you like at Bar de Corcel, like back like when you were doing Mod Club at Corcel down the street from here, just like 3 in the morning, and like you just see Pat like wiping a table, picking up people's drinks and shit. I'm just like, who is this guy?
And the thing is, they didn't even appreciate it.
No.
Fuck that place.
Ooh, anyway. Ooh, burn. Hot take. Fuck, sir. All right, anyway.
So at the end of the night, we were talking with the staff, and they went, oh, this was great. Teresina has to have you over again.
Shout out to Teresina, because this is her night that you guys were kind of taking the lead subbing on. Yeah, because she was in Spain or something?
She was in Spain doing one of Eddie Pillar's mod nights. So a really mod cool weekender, actually.
Awesome.
So, thanks to the staff, you know, that was like the best compliment we could receive.
Yeah, it's nice when like the staff of a bar appreciates you. And like, again, I haven't been DJing actively for a while, but I had DJed in various other places that weren't Montreal over the years. Something about Montreal, they never acknowledge like, oh, that was so great. It's like, but I've DJed in New York and Boston and Toronto, and like the staff's always like, oh, that was so fun. Like, you don't really hear words of endearment and encouragement in Montreal. Montreal bar staff, kind of a bunch of assholes. hey, look, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Yeah, another hot take. Now I'm going to be banned from DJing in this city.
So we went from A to B to see, I was talking about Henry's,
This is the show. We go show. All we, over the place. This hey, it's live. There's dog food. There's cat food. There's Henry.
So I arrived there
at Henry's on Thursday.
Thursday.
So basically, after we met up in the McDonald's parking lot, but aren't you forgetting?
Drove straight there.
No, you made a stop because I told you to stop somewhere before.
Oh yeah,
Henry's.
That's right. Zap Records.
See, because before we started recording, you're like, I don't remember anything. I'm like, Pat, do you remember that I remember everything?
That's true.
Like so yeah. So I had sent you over to
Zap Records
in Coburg, Ontario,
to see Tom. Right,
Tim.
Tim. Oh, sorry.
Tom, Tim, Harry, Henry.
Sorry about if I'm mixed up.
You've had half a Coke Zero. You're losing it.
The funny thing is, Tim, right?
Tim.
So as soon as I walked in, I said, hey, Tim. I said, Tim, I presume. He says, yes. I go, my friend Ben Schulman sent me. Oh, hey, cool. I'm a 45 guy, just like Ben, so point me in the right direction. Said, oh, all the 45s are in the back, you'll see.
Tons of them, too. Lot of 45s at this store.
And the second thing he told me is, but Ben picked it through. So I went, oh, I'll still have a look.
But as I said before I sent you there, I hadn't been there. I hadn't dug through that stuff in probably over a year, and he always gets stuff in. So I figured you there was a chance.
So I had a little stack, and the thing is, when I went up to the counter, I said, I bought everything that Ben doesn't buy.
Right.
So I'm going to pull out a few.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, a little stack of what I brought, I bought there. And you'll understand why.
I will understand. Hang on, hold on. You're kind of missing some. Okay, no. You're good. You got
so
it.
The first one is probably the rarest of the stack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Let me know.
All right. So from Zap, Dead Kennedys. That's cool. Yep. Canadian pressing, too.
Yep. Too drunk to fuck.
Nice. The Clash, Rock the Casbah, and Should I Stay or Should I Go? Okay, this is great, guys, because obviously you have, like, it's like the double hit side, the Hall of Fame series or whatever. But this is actually hard as hell to find.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point.
You don't even, like, these kinds of, like, reissues or, like, hit releases of Clash records, you don't see them.
No, and I think I bought two copies. I bought the original and I bought that one, too.
Yeah. Oh, or even like this, like the London Calling by the Clash on the Memory Lane Epic Series, which is so funny because it's such like a summery looking label, and it's like it's fucking London Calling, and the label's like la 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 Memory Lane. Yeah, these are hard to find.
I never seen, and I didn't own them.
And this is the one. This is the I find this 45.
See, that
this
one,
one's around because this I think this 45. So this is Gates of the West.
That one I didn't buy at Zap.
Oh, okay.
I put it with those because they're
all
the same.
Punk 45s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This I bought from my buddy Keith in Toronto.
Yeah, because you and Marty ended up going to see like a couple of like private dealers.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah. Hey, listeners,
do.
I'm not the only one who has secret spots, man. Pat's got... but I was going to... Just kind of a quick side note about this Clash promo, Gates of the West. I think this 45 came with an LP.
I think it was an insert. Yeah, right.
So these are still from... This is still from Tim?
Yeah, Generation X.
Oh, yeah, cool. And that's like a UK pressing on... Okay, I'm not going to... I don't even... Is it Chrysalis or Chrysalis?
I'd say Chrysalis.
Yeah, Chrysalis. I don't know. 70s records?
So you know...
I'm not good with 70s records.
So you know about... No, that's 80s. Generation X. That's 80s.
Well, you wrote
punk.
1977 on it.
Well, okay. Tail end. Well, the
oh, even,
the
it even
first
says
era
it even
of
says
punk.
1977 on it. Yeah, well, I mean, it's the first, yeah, it's the Clash. Well, whatever. That's the late 70s.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, you know who was the one of the members of the Generation X?
No.
He had a very...
Wait, this is...
He had a very...
this is like a good trivia question.
He had a very long-lasting... Well, long-lasting. Very...
memorable
career.
Oh, come on. Oh, I know this. You're going to tell me and I'm going to go, who is it?
Billy Idol.
Yes, that's right.
So he was part of Generation X.
And the... Billy Idol. But did, oh yeah, no, yeah, it's true. He was
not Billie Eilish.
I'm the bad guy. I, hey, don't get me wrong, I like Billie Eilish. So next we have the what's this? The Beat.
The Beat.
English. Oh, I'm just like looking, I'm just like looking at like a picture of them, and that is like the most like mod revival skinhead looking.
It's a two-tone ska band.
Very cool. All right. Spar with me. Yeah, that sounds oh, The Cure. These two, not easy to find on Canadian pressing.
I think that's the first I ever find.
Yeah, they're hard as hell to find. Oh, and then, okay, come on, so, a classic, Crazy Little Thing Called Love by Queen from 1979, right, Canadian pressing. I love that song.
Of course.
That's, come on. And if you're like corporate DJing it up, you're doing like a wedding or a hired gig, you got to have that 45.
Well, you're reading my mind because I'm doing a wedding at the end of the summer.
Mazel tov.
And you brought me records. We actually did a little business before the mics went on.
Yeah, we traded. That doesn't happen. That happens like once every like 4 years.
Because I went digging during the weekend and the last few days.
See, that's the nice thing for you being a teacher is at least you got your summers off. You're so much more relaxed in the summer.
I have no idea.
I show up here the other 10 months of the year and you're like, fucking motherfuckers. And I'm like, okay, Pat, calm down.
Well, before we feature my next stop was Henry's.
Yeah.
Since we mentioned that I went digging and we did a little trading before the show.
That's right.
I was at the flea market and I found something that I got all excited about.
Is it a record?
It's not a record.
Then how could it be exciting? No, I'm kidding.
You'll see.
I'm joking.
And it's funny how I get excited by the simplest things in life, but I'm going to show you. And I bet it's something you've never seen before.
Okay.
So I'll tell you what it is before I show you.
All right.
It's a record box.
Okay. Like a little carrier.
It's a carrier case.
We love those. We have tons of them between the two of us.
Hundreds.
At least.
So it's one of those plastic ones. I really like that snap.
Classic Quebec thing, man. Yeah. Those are so popular in this province.
And I've never really seen outside of Quebec.
I think they were like a Quebec. Never seen one outside of Quebec. I really think that was like a Quebecois item, like the plastic 45.
And they're sturdy, and they snap really well.
I don't like what they look like, but for sturdiness, like if you're just doing like a quick little DJ gig and they're more efficient than a lot of those old platter packs. Yeah, they don't hold together as well. They're ancient. They're made out of cardboard and they're 60 years old.
Right, and they're easy. Those plastic ones are easy to clean.
Yeah, exactly. You can spray it with a freaking hose.
They don't smell. They don't.
I've seen some smelly ones. Well, but anyway.
So
nonetheless, I'll show you. So you found one
I've never seen before.
All right.
Check this out.
I have that one.
Really?
I have it like this. And I have it in yellow with the stripes also.
But for the addicts out there, it's a brown one. I've never seen
the brown. Is that brown?
That's brown.
Okay, I'm colorblind, so to me that is green.
Only other color I don't have is green.
That's so not those, green, that's brown? Okay,
that's brown.
I'll take your word for it.
So they came in, the most common I think is red.
Red, yellow, but not with that kind of stripey, rainbowy thing on the front. They don't.
Doesn't matter. The color. I'm just obsessed about the color. So the most common is red. There's yellow. There's blue, pink, fuchsia. Blue?
The
blue are rare. Blue,
that's hard. Yeah, I don't think I have any blue ones.
No, I have three or four.
Next time I come over, I have tons of these I don't want.
So, my last count was around 60.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a friend.
You probably have one of the biggest collections in the world of these things. We got to get you to 100, like by the 100th episode, so we can take a picture of you lying on the ground covered in them.
And the only I didn't know this color existed.
Yeah.
So I'm all excited. And it's going to go on our little secret Facebook group about
Boxes. The record box group. Yeah. I love that.
I didn't know brown existed.
Right.
And the only other color I don't own is the green one.
But it's like a brighter green?
No, I think it's a dark green. And I was talking to a friend.
You sure that's not dark green?
That is it's brown.
Okay, I'm sorry. It looks dark green to me.
No, that is brown. Okay,
dark green. I'll check. Maybe I have one.
So I was talking to a friend, and she said, oh, I have one.
Okay.
I went, so we agreed that I was going to trade her two colors that she wants.
Fair enough.
For the green one.
You're a completist freak. You're like probably the only person who cares about these.
Well, the thing is, the color dictates the genre.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
Red is soul. Yellow is Quebec, French Canadian.
Yeah.
Orange is reggae.
What color? Blue is garage. Garage rock.
Garage, I put in platter packs.
Okay, not enough room.
The gray is different. Depends. Pink is like 80s disco.
Gotta have it.
So what am I missing? Orange, fuchsia is like soul. Also blue. Yeah, blue is rhythm and blues.
Okay, that makes sense.
So brown, I didn't own. So I was I got excited by a little plastic. It looks like a lunchbox.
Okay, I've had enough of plastic boxes. Play me that record found at Henry's. So I know you got a big one.
It's been a while since I've been back from Toronto, and I've teased you about this record. And I didn't know it existed. I never heard of it before.
There's a lot of records we don't know exist.
It's a rare one. It's soul. And as soon as I heard it, I had the same reaction you often have.
Yeah.
I went, this is a Ben record.
Okay. I have a great thing that's going to happen right now. We're going to play this. You say it's a Ben record. And then I'm going to fight back with one of the pattiest records I've ever found. So, let's see this record.
Well, let's do a DJ battle. Yeah. So,
let me just get mine ready.
Let me see my little description. Northern soul inspired by the Motown sound.
Uh-oh.
If that doesn't remind you of Motown, I don't know what is. You can tell me which group, which singer.
Yeah.
So it's the Emotions on the Varden label?
Varden.
V-A-R-D-A-N.
Do This For Me by the Emotions. I've never...
Let me see if that's the right side.
Or is it Love of a Girl?
No, Do This For Me.
Do This For Me. I've never seen this record. This is something if I saw, I would buy instantly. Produced by RV Andrews. Pfft, no idea. None of this means anything to me. So this is a find from our good friend Henry.
Yep.
Man, I should probably start going back there. All right. So Do This For Me on the Varden label by the Emotions. This is a Pat record that he thinks I will like, and I'm going to play him a Pat record that I'm getting confused. Pat. All right, let's go.
We've been in the service now. Friends will always be. You're going back to our hometown. Do this for me. Tell her I love her.
You're such a lonely boy.
I'm so lonely.
You're such a lonely boy.
I'm so all alone.
Such a lonely boy.
I'm disheartened, 'cause I want to go home.
If you see my girl, yeah, do this for me. Tell her that soon, very soon, her face I'll see.
Yeah, I really like that.
I couldn't tell because you were, your poker face on.
The intro threw me off. The intro is very doo-wop-y and almost like kind of white sounding. It's like a little corny.
I will DJ this. Yeah. I'm going to skip the intro.
It's funny because this strikes me as a little too mid-tempo-y for you, but I guess.
Well, that's why it's a record.
Yeah, that's why I love. I don't think this sounds like Motown. I think this is the carbon copy of the Impressions. Like, that's the Chicago Curtis Mayfield Major Lance sound.
Okay.
More than a Motown sound. Love the baritone sax,
I can't put my finger on it.
It's ripping sounding, and oddly enough, it makes me think of, like, honestly, the baritone sax on, like, Beach Boys records. Like, it's really, like, It's kind of nasty, and what's really the lead vocalist, his voice like jumps out. It's very cool. I really like it.
But what that sax reminds me of?
Well, baritone sax that's very Motown. Like the Motown sound to me is like, you know, like the baritone sax and like the shaking of the tambourine, or they use like the freaking chains on the floor kind of thing. I got to think about Back in My Arms Again by the Supremes. Like, rum, 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 rum. You know, it's like the baritone sax is synonymous with the Motown sound, but this baritone, it's greasy. Like, it's rough sounding. But this is really good mid-tempo. I love stuff like this.
Okay, so I wasn't wrong in my assessment.
Chicago, Detroit, look.
No, I'm talking about being a Ben record.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very cool. And it's always so fun, you know, when you walk into a record store and you find something like that. You know, whatever, it's not like it was a buck. But still, even to go into a store and, like, walk out with a cool record at a decent price, fantastic. Great find. Now... This is the Pattiest Pat record I found on my travels. This record is called The Funky Chicken by the NY Jets. Funky Chicken by the New York Jets on the Tambu label. Does this look familiar to you at all?
No. But The Funky Chicken.
Well, there's Rufus Thomas, Funky Chicken. That was like a. But that's like.
But I listened to something recently.
I feel like there's a lot of. Funky chicken records.
No, what I listened to was The Greasy Chicken.
Oh, Andre Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's like greasy, literally greasy R&B. Isn't that on Fortune?
I think so, yeah.
That's like from 60s, 61. This, I think, this is probably 67, 68. This is one of those records where I was going to keep it, and then I... listen to it again and I'm like, impossible, this has to go to Pat. The Funky Chicken by the New York Jets. Isn't that like a football baseball
team? The football team, yeah.
Yeah. Don't ask me. Hey, I know a lot about records. I don't know jack shit about sports. maybe it's the football team.
Yeah. There's the New York Giants and the New York Jets.
And then there's Bill, and then the baseball, there's the Yankees, but there's also
the Mets.
The Mets.
Yeah.
It's confusing. New York Rangers, hockey. Okay, anyway.
Enough. Islanders.
Oh my God. Enough. New York, calm down. The Funky Chicken by the New York Jets. Pat, I think you're going to like this.
So, you know, at the beginning of the song, like the where did I hear that before?
Oh, yeah. It's it kind of reminds me a bit of You Keep Me Hanging On by the Supremes. Kind of has
is that the start? How's that start?
Set me free, why don't you, baby?
Yeah, it's got, like, because that's it.
They were trying, well, Hall & Dutcher Hall, when they produced that record, they were trying to mimic the sound of... because I think, I don't know if it was like Dateline or like Walter Cronkite or something, some 60s news show that started off with like a sound. It was kind of like one of those Morse code transmitters. Like, that's what the sound they were trying to go for on the Supremes record.
Breaking news.
Yes, exactly. Was that not like the paddest record? I mean, it's called The Funky Chicken. It's got like a clapping break. It's got like, oh, come on.
And
like,
that bass also
the
at
bass
the end.
Is nuts, eh?
Yeah.
Holy shit. The bass on this is like, yeah, you feel that in your stomach. How good is that?
That's like late 60s.
Say 68.
68,
Yeah, 68. Recorded at Groove Sound Studio, New York. Kind of cool looking label, too.
Yeah, it has a bit of a, you know, James Brown vibe to it also. That funk.
Yeah.
You know, groove with well, obviously the bass.
Yeah.
Yeah, has every element
yep.
that I like.
That's why, because I when I first found it, I listened to it, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is great. Then like I listened to it again, and I'm like, no, this doesn't, this belongs at Pat's house.
So there's not too far from here, I'd say about a 10, 15-minute walk at most on Notre Dame going east.
I feel like I know what you're about to say.
Really?
You're talking about Bucky Roosters?
No.
Oh, because Tan and I were actually going to try and go there for dinner the other night, but apparently it was too packed. We couldn't get in.
Well,
is it a different chicken restaurant?
That would make sense. No, they open a cafe. It has to be more than 6 months now, maybe a year. And I haven't been, and I actually got ready, you know, put some a few records in my bag, had some, you know, business cards ready, and because I wanted to go and make a good impression at that cafe,
right?
Because the cafe is called Cafe Got Soul.
Oh yeah, I think you might have mentioned that, like, when it first opened.
So I haven't, you know,
where is it?
It's on Notre Dame.
Going east. Okay, all right.
So I think it's considered Griffin Town,
like past Joe Beef.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah. 10 feet. Yeah.
So it's. I think it's considered Griffin Town.
Yeah. That part. The bottom of Peel Street. Yeah.
And I haven't, you know, built the courage to go and you know, talk to the manager, and because there's DJ turntables in the back.
So what are you waiting for?
So I actually went, and I was all ready. I had my little spiel.
Yeah, your shtick ready to go.
Ready, and it's open from I think 10 to 10. Showed up at 11 and it was closed.
Wow.
And I'm just going to offer to, you know, I saw on the wall, they said that they have like DJs on Saturdays and Sundays, I think.
Well, this kind of sounds like perfect. You need like a brunch DJ gig. I could totally see you doing that.
Well, I just want to go. I'll do it for free.
Yeah.
I just want to do it for free. And the reason why I'm telling you this is I'd probably play this record there.
Yeah.
Because I believe one of the owners is a DJ, but they're more of the, you know, modern funk.
I wonder if it's one of those guys. Did you see that story in the news a couple weeks ago during the Jazz Fest when Questlove was DJing here? And he needed a record, and some DJ in Montreal ran home to his collection and brought it for him.
Really?
Yeah, I saw that. Cool, I saw story. That.
Because the Roots internet. Played. They yeah. closed the international.
I think it was Montreal the after party. Questlove was DJing, and I'm like, yeah, he needed some record, and he had forgotten it or something, and someone like had run home, and it was on the news. And yeah, anyway, it was pretty. I thought that was pretty cool.
Because I have to mention that. That was the closing
of the Jazz Fest.
The closing concert of the Jazz Fest, the Roots. I was in Toronto, so I couldn't go and
I guess I was in Toronto too.
And see it.
I didn't go to any of the Jazz Fest shows this summer,
but I did do the after party of the opening show of one of the editions of
the Jazz. You DJed, or you just attended?
No, I hosted the after party.
Oh, okay.
For Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. So they actually, at the end of their concert, they actually named the venue and say, we're going to have a party, after party.
Okay,
and
you're talking about like 7 years ago.
Still.
Also, we hosted that together, genius.
Nope.
What?
Nope. That was a different one? Yeah, that's a different one.
That was the one where I was in the Jazz Fest. Oh, and I was in Halifax. That's when you took them to Beatnik, right?
I took them to Beatnik.
Because there was another time where they played at like Olympia.
Yeah.
And then we hosted them across, like five minutes away, right near Joe Beef. Across the street from Joe Beef, actually. God, I love Joe Beef. that one we hosted together.
Yes.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That was really fun. Oh, yeah.
At La Drinkerie.
Yes, right across the street. That was perfect.
No, that was...
Oh, so you hosted them. Because that one, too, I think they mentioned... On stage, like, oh, we're going to be at the Drinkery after. That's why I was like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but that...
Okay, so technically you've hosted them twice. Excuse me.
No, I think three times.
Yeah.
I can't remember the other time. Twice at the Drinkery.
Every time they'd come here, we'd end up hanging out with them or record shopping. I remember the first time I saw them here, I went to Schwartz's with half of them.
But that was the last time Sharon Jones performed in Montreal.
Yeah, before she passed away, which is a shame. I was away... with Taryn, we were in Halifax, and I just remember seeing that picture of like you with like a couple of the Dap Kings and like Nick at Beatnik, and I was just like, like, why am I not there? This is like my family.
So I did host a after party for a
jazz fest artist,
a jazz fest big act.
Excusez-moi.
Well, the difference between the Olympia after party and that one is that was like a free outside concert.
Yeah,
and there was like
the after party
more
for that
than 50,000 people.
Wow, where was it?
Outside the Place des Festivals.
Oh, so you DJed outside after?
No. Oh,
no, I meant where was the
after party?
Yeah.
It was right behind that stage. There was like a vinyl bar there. I can't remember the name.
Oh, yeah, just like, wasn't there that like Bar à Vinyl?
Yeah.
There? Yeah.
No, Bar à Vinyl was.
That's kind of like right behind Place des Arts, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Down like, that.
But Bar à Vinyl is where I used to have a monthly night. That's another place. But yeah, it was something like that. I know which place
it's like on Blurry, like when you kind of come down the hill.
Yeah.
That's cool as hell. We're so cool.
sure.
All right, can I play another record?
Sure.
Yeah, what else?
Sure. And after that, I'm going to give
you... We'll go through your
box. Yeah, I'll give you the box of everything I picked up in Toronto.
Here's another one I recently came across and was like, oh, yeah, this is going to Pat. Alcohol record.
Ooh.
It's called On the Rocks.
I don't have that.
By the Epics on the Athens label. I believe this is a label from Georgia. Record that R&D, I think we both...
Probably.
You'll see. Instrumentally titty shaker groupie kind of whatever. I just remember listening to it really quickly and going, Pat, and now we'll hear it again on the show. I believe we both have on this label... Sam Baker the Hump.
Oh yeah,
that's on this label.
You might have sold me this on the show.
Yeah, that's possible. Anyway, recently came across this and was like, oh yeah, you know, because I'm always thinking about your. Hey, look, so far we've hit an animal. Now we're hitting alcohol. Who knows what I'll have next? So, On the Rocks by the Epics from I think Georgia, 1964.
On the Rock.
Took a turn I didn't expect. Oh, wow.
That's just like the sound of getting drunk.
I was thinking that. Do you think they just wanted sound drunk, or they were actually drinking while they recorded this?
I don't know. That's a very tight recording. The drummer is on fire on this thing. He's kind of the one keeping the whole thing together, because the bass player... Dum, dum,
dum, dum, but they're they're giving the impression they're drunk, though.
Probably. I love that it's just like, on the rocks, and like you hear them pouring the drink. Like it's.
I expected it to be a lot mellower.
No, this takes
off like a rocket.
It's like crazy drunk. It's pretty cool though, eh?
Love it.
Yeah, I thought that love was very. It. I thought it was very you.
So I'm gonna have to, because of the amount of records, alcohol related records I have, I'm gonna have to split the suite into instrumentals and vocals.
I feel like a lot of them are instrumentals.
But I have a lot of
tequila,
both.
Vodka. Yeah. I feel like you could just name any alcohol and like rum.
Kahlua.
Oh, I have Kahlua. Yeah. But also by the Champs. That's a good one. Yeah. Pretty much any of them. Anyway, that made me think of you.
And made me thirsty. So here's what we're going to do next.
Ooh,
so
what's up?
So, during that Toronto trip, I dug a lot.
Me too.
Yeah, you did too.
Oh, yeah, right. We were both in the same city. Surprise.
But I also dug in London, Hamilton.
Yeah, that's right. You went to see our buddy Jason.
Jason.
Shout out to the 45 RPM selector from Hamilton, Ontario.
Gave me great deals. And
he's a great guy. I love that guy.
I arrived there right at the beginning of the... At the beginning of his garage sale. He had like a special garage sale.
Yeah, he was just kind of because he deals in like antique toys and stuff. Like yep. It's kind of similar to you guys. It seems like you guys get along so well because like you're both into things that aren't just records. Like he's really into all kinds of like Star Wars stuff
and scooters too.
Yeah, so he's a scooter guy. Very, yeah. I think he's been scooters like forever. This yep. guy, yeah, mm-hmm. kind of like you, yeah.
So I arrived there and he said, oh, I have a, in the back of the garage, I have like the select stuff for you. So I went and sat down and he had like a little turntable ready for me and I started dropping records.
What service? Are you trying to start a podcast with you too? I'm very protective of my pet.
And he has a soul reggae night, so he deals a lot in reggae also.
Yeah, sure.
So I bought a bunch of reggae, you'll see. And then one of our
what's his night called again in Hamilton?
Ram Jam,
that's right, yeah.
So of course one of our favorite listeners and friends, Pat McMillan, Patrick Fantastic on the Instagram.
Yep.
He showed up, I don't know, maybe an hour later, and he went, oh, geez, Pat is here.
Yeah.
He bought everything.
Well,
he left with a little stack.
I'm sure. I was hoping to bump into him. I was hoping he would be at your night at the Piston, but I guess you saw him the day before.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, he always has, you know, family obligations. And
I worked out a trade with him. I hooked him up with the copy of Mr. Fortune that I had found.
Oh, so that went to him.
Yeah, we did like a trade. Because things, it's like... It was in rough shape, still played well, but we worked something out. I was happier for it to go to him instead of one of my like 4,000 British customers. I love you guys too, mate. So what did you get from Jason? What are we looking at?
Well, no, so I went to Jason and then...
Did you hit any of the stores in Hamilton?
No.
A couple of record stops there, and I've never stepped foot into a record store in Hamilton.
Didn't have time.
Yeah.
I went to Cops, but... Two records there.
Because, yeah, you and Marty said you went to Cobbs, and I don't know, last time I was there, I didn't find much.
But, oh, we were there for less than an hour.
Yeah, I find it's very overwhelming, and, I mean, again, look, you're paying record store prices, and also you're paying downtown Toronto record store prices, so it's...
But I left with two.
Whatever, you leave us something, it's fine.
One is going to be featured on our special episode with Mom Marty.
Did that come out yet?
Did it? I don't think so. So we went to Cops and we met with two also private private dealers. Uh-huh. One that you know, Dane Goulet.
Yes, I've never met him in person, but we had been in communication when he worked for Discogs. So, yeah, super nice guy. I had no idea that he was a record dealer and had stuff, so that's really cool.
Oh, yeah, we went
if I would have known that, I'm sure I would have gotten into his coffers at some point, but that is good to know. So, yeah, you told me you got some good stuff from him, too.
Eh? Yeah, and I remember... going through, so of course we were lucky we didn't get into a fist fight between Mon Marty and I, because
you always work it out,
because we dug
together
and we both, you know, ended up with great records and no fights. But I remember I sat down and I started going through a box, and I pulled out a record and I just held it in above my head in the air.
Was this something Marty had been after?
No, and it probably has it. And Dane went, "Oh, that wasn't supposed to be there." And I went, "Oh,
what was it?"
The painted chip.
Which one?
Well, the rare one.
Well, they have two. There's a rare one, and then there's a rare one.
Okay, which one?
Well, the one that, quote-unquote, charted, and that we do see from time to time, is called Little White Lies, and the other side's called Frustration.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay. They had a second 45. I don't remember the name of the A side. It's not important. The B side is called And She Said Yes, which is... there's nothing like that. I had it once when I was like 17, but I don't know. I had to like pay off a credit card or something, so I sold it. But yeah.
So we're talking about Canadian Garage.
Yeah, they're from Vancouver, and the lead singer and guitar player from that band, William Hay, we've been Facebook friends since I'm 15 years old. And when I was in my own garage band at 17, 18 years old called The Ray, he was like our biggest supporter, man. He shared our music all over Facebook. He bought our EPs and stuff. And we even had a song I had written called Painted Ship, which he was crazy about. So shout out to Will. He's still kicking. He still lives out in Vancouver. Super, super nice guy. And it was just really cool because he was in a garage band in the 60s, and he's still super supportive of like contemporary garage bands and stuff too. So
so basically they're the Haunted of the West Coast.
They're like Vancouver's Haunted and like Toronto's Ugly Ducklings, like Painted Ship. Yeah. And they only ever did the two 45s. I think there was maybe some other recordings done that were never released. But yeah, they're like the equivalent of the Haunted of Montreal. Yeah. Painted Ship. Vancouver,
so in Vancouver, you eventually come across that record.
Oh yeah. My brother's fan. Well, I know a guy who lives in Vancouver, my brother.
Sam, if you find another copy, let me know.
Yeah, I think you might even have a spare copy.
Okay, I want it.
Look, you got the real deal record dealer here, and then you have my West Coast operation, Sam Shulman Enterprises. See, that's the thing with my brother and I. We're going to just converge in Saskatchewan and open a record store.
I was really happy to, find that record.
But
and it was a beautiful copy, too.
Yeah, just like 125, it's very hard to find in good shape. My copy also is kind of like, meh. But I didn't know you were missing that. I will bear that in mind because I come across from time to time, too.
Yeah, so. I know you did. And
I pulled the trigger on it. I was out with my mother. both sides are really, really cool.
Sort of a Canadian garage royalty. So, yeah. So that was one of the first records I pulled out. And he went, sorry, you know it. Yeah. And but super nice guy, gave us great deals, very happy with what we got.
Play me something you got. I got to hear something, man. Let's hear something.
And then our last stop was at my friend Keith, another scooterist, very talented mechanic. And
yeah, I feel like I've heard you talk about this guy a number of times over the years. I think I've
he's the one. He made me. Custom made me.
Oh, your Stax box.
My Stax double record box.
I feel
box.
Like there's been like eight times I've like walked downstairs and I'm like, hey, nice box. And you're like, Ben, you've seen that before. Hey, it's a nice box though. And didn't he made Marty an okay one?
He's in the process. So he did one for Teresina. He's doing one for Marty. But I don't. Is it going to be the okay one? I can't remember which one.
Oh, I need like a quality records one, or like, you know, or a Rio one to match the Rio shirt that Dan made me.
So
I love that. I get so many compliments on that shirt. Hey, you have a Rio record shirt? I'm like, yeah, thanks, Dan.
So we had he had us over, you know. Cooked for us, had roast beef and platters of cheese and
wow, sounds like Sunday roast or whatever.
It was on Sunday.
Yeah, there you go.
So in that box is mixed a mix of everything I picked up from Henry's to
Jason
to Keith
to Dane to Cops. All right,
so I'm gonna hand it.
Should
to
I
you.
Just and like I'll pick out one to play or something?
If one,
or maybe I'll play multiple.
So if one,
I love
you know,
the box they're in, by the way.
Picks your fancy.
Speaking of record, I love this box. You don't see it too often with the instruments on it.
So that's a platter pack.
That is
a brown one.
All right,
don't see often.
Let's do some flipping through here. Lenny Richards and the Nomads doing a Kinks cover on the B-side. It's an Edmonton record.
So I got this from Keith.
Cool.
And Mud Marty flagged it for me.
Yeah. Went,
do you have this? No.
It's very cool. Yeah, it's from Calgary or Edmonton. Whatever. It's an Alberta record. It's cool. It's a Kinks cover. Ooh, the Dragon by Marvin Holmes of the Uptights.
That was actually cool. That was a want. But, you know, it's not an expensive record, so.
It's one of those records that I have it and like I would sell it to you. It's just like I forget that it's there because it's just it's a cheapie, but it's just
yeah,
like
it's been on my want list forever.
It, yeah,
and you don't want to pay the shipping for
this. We talked about that with Marty. This is the Johnny Winter doing Jumpin' Jack Flash,
right?
Which is really good.
That's from Cops,
yeah.
And I actually found a double. So,
oh, cool.
I could, if you're looking for,
I have six copies of
it. Oh, okay.
this looks really cool. Russian Spy and I by the Regents on Dot.
So that's the other Cops record. And I'm going to feature that on a, on the special episode with Mon Martin.
This is something if I saw, I'd buy just to bring to you.
and that was a record that was on Marty's list. So when he saw I got it, he went, grunted.
Be nice. Hey, the grunt. Bobby Bland on Duke, You Never Go Wrong. African Music Machine on Soul Power. David Rockingham Trio on Josie. Soulful Chant. Bobby Lewis, Toss It and Turn It. Now that's just an old classic.
Yep.
That was a big hit.
Yep.
Song gets stuck in my head sometimes. I couldn't sleep at all last night. Do. Love and Time, Bertha Tillman on Brent. Another record that charted in 1961. ZZ Hill, Think People, pretty good. Oh, gotta play that. You feature that on your episode with Marty?
Yeah, that's the one you sold me.
I guess you, because I know you told me the story of how you got it from Marty, but I guess you probably tell it on that episode, so I will save that. Anyway, the record in question is What's Wrong With Me, Baby by The Invitations on Dyna Voice. I fucking love this song.
Oh, yeah, it's a great,
And it was done by The Toys as well on their album. It's funny with The Toys, like, the Lover's Concerto is a huge, huge hit in 1965 on Dyna Voice.
It's an easy-to-find LP.
Yeah, pretty easy to find, and it's funny for me, the two best cuts on the that they ever did are on the album, not on 45. One song is called Deserted, Out of This World, and it's on like a Peruvian EP or something, and it's on my want list, like just because I want to have it on a 45. And they do What's Wrong With Me, Baby as well. All right. Ooh, Guess Who, Believe Me. That one's really good.
That's from Marty.
Nice. That's probably the hardest of their quality 45s to find.
Featured on the special episode.
What Fa by Monk Higgins. Cool.
That's Henry's.
Joe Cook, Found a New Girl. We were talking about that before. I have that one. Wes Wells and the Steelers from the Top of My Heart. That's from Jason because it's got a stamp on the sleeve.
Yep.
Barbie Lee, David Clayton, Thomas and Atka. Classic Toronto. Now I guess this is like...
Yeah, that's from Patrick, actually.
Oh, cool. Slim Smith, Love Power. I don't know, all these Jamaican records, who cares? No, that's look, I like listening to it, and I like, but it's just like, I don't know, it just doesn't interest me. Lots of Jamaican records. Oh, Past the Dutchie.
That was at Zap Records.
I mean, it's a good one to have, especially, yeah, you know, for your corporate gigs.
Yep.
Ooh, Holly Pussy by L. Charmers, as you note, X-rated reggae.
Yep.
All right. Roy Thompson, Keep on Dancing on OK.
Huh. I think that's a gift from Marty. I can't remember.
It looks beat to shit, but it looks intriguing. I don't.
Oh, is that the one we're going to listen to?
Losing My Religion. What the hell's that doing?
from Zap Records, hey, with all those punk records.
All right, cool. Yeah, I don't know. Was there something in here?
You skipped one big one from T-Rex.
Oh, it's in here. 20th Century Boy.
I didn't have that. From T-Rex.
It's cool. Classic. It's even in like a T-Rex sleeve.
Yep.
How fun.
So which, I didn't even have that.
Did you want to feature one of these? Or
no. Well, what's your...
I kind of want to hear this Spidey Rush. Senses. I kind of want to go with the Russian Spy record, because if it was on...
No,
Marty,
no, it's on the special episode.
Okay, can't do that one. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Now you've gotten to the point where you do shows without me all the time. what about this Roy Thompson, Keep on Dancing?
Well, let's play it.
I don't know. Doesn't register. This is one of those records that looks... Oh, it's cracked.
Is it?
Yeah. Let's play it anyway.
All right.
See what it sounds like. Keep on Dancing, Roy Thompson on OK. I love that. That's perfect.
At first, I was, you know, sort of bummed that you told me it was cracked, but then you hear like 2-3 clicks
barely
at the beginning.
Yeah, there's like a tiny crack
in the running groove.
And what's amazing, like this record, you just heard it, everybody. It sounds
great.
Yeah, it looks fucked. Like it's got a crack in it. The labels are all worn out. Writing on the labels, I would grade this G. But that's the thing with styrene, man. You know, a lot of people complain about it, but I think styrene, more often than not, when you have a beat up styrene record, is they actually sound great. It's only when they have like styrene burn that's a problem. And I don't really know how that happens. I think
the hiss. You're talking about the hiss.
Yeah, like the like, yeah, you know. But it'll only be in like a couple of spots, like on the record kind, right, of thing. But it's like, but here's a perfect example of like, I don't know, it's probably like, that sounds like it's probably worth more than $100. It's too good to be cheap. I mean, but like musically too, it's like, you know what it really made me think of? A record we both have, Detroit by Tony, yeah, McKay. Yeah. And there's another one like bum 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 bum, and there's another one at the Earthquake,
yeah,
by Troy something.
I can look it up, but yeah. Oh, I love that record.
But like this, yeah, it would go good with that, or like Soulful Dress by Sugar Pie DeSantis. Kind of got that same 1-4-5 little shuffle going on. That was so good.
If I remember correctly,
it goes back in your box.
Marty, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was a gift from him.
Well, it's a good gift because it's like sometimes looks can be deceiving because like it reminds me, it's like my copy of McKinley Mitchell, You're Not Gonna Break My Heart, looks worse than that and is also cracked. And I DJed that record for 5 years. So can I interest you in another one?
Yeah.
So here's just some Northern Soul.
Where did you find that one?
Somewhere in Ontario.
Was that on the same trip?
Oh, yeah. Everything I'm playing. So far, everything I played for you is from my... I brought back over 2,000 45s that weekend. Yeah, I'm kind of nuts, man. I get a lot of records. This is on the Big Bunny label, which, if I'm not mistaken... I sold you something on this label like 100 years ago. It's so familiar to me, this label. This track is called You Got It by The Dealers. And now I'm just noticing it says arranged by Lonnie Youngblood. That's kind of cool.
It can't be more appropriate of a group name. The Dealer.
Oh, shit, yeah. Wow.
I'm sitting across from him.
Wow, The Dealers, right. Good point. So, The Dealers, You Got It, on the Big Bunny label. Pretty sure this is a Chicago record, especially the Lonnie Youngblood connection kind of confirms it. I think you're going to like this.
Look at me. I have my wallet in my hand.
Good.
If I'm ready to pay up for this one, what are you going to say?
You got it?
Yeah, The Dealers.
Okay, so The Dealers, You Got It. Man, I forgot how good that was. But hey, it's here now. It's yours, I assume.
What did I just say?
So, funny thing just kind of popped into my head. It's something I felt I had read about this record, and I was trying to very quickly confirm it. While listening to it. So, it is rumored that Jimi Hendrix was in this group.
Because what's the other group he was in?
Well,
Isley Brothers?
Yeah, well, in like 65, 66, he was in backing bands for Little Richard. He's on a Little Richard record on VJ called I Don't Know What You've Got, But It's Got Me, Part 1, Part 2.
He was almost a session player.
Basically, but just doing live shows. Wilson Pickett, Isley Brothers. Well, there's that picture of him performing with the Isley Brothers down the street from here. I think it was called the 237 Club in Montreal. Montreal in 64. So there's this picture of the Isley Brothers. On St. Catherine, or possibly like Metcalf, like a street off of St. Catherine. But crazy to think that it's like Hendrix and the Isley Brothers. Like, Montreal was cool, man. It still is. But yeah, just because I remember seeing something. It's never been confirmed. I mean, the thing is, with the guitar on this, possible. But he was in a band with Lonnie Youngblood at one point. So like there's rumors that Hendrix played with these guys. I don't know if he's necessarily on the record, but I don't know. It's close enough that people are like, it's Jimi Hendrix related. So that's kind of just like a fun side piece of information. But yeah, what a great Northern Soul record. Chicago 65, I'd say. 65, 66. Yeah.
You know, what could follow that record very beautifully?
What's that?
The Emotions.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. I don't know which one I would play first, but probably The Emotions first, followed by this. The only thing,
going back to that emotion, you got to cue that up. The intro sucks.
Oh, no. I would never play that.
It's so funny because, like, when we first put that record on, I was like, are you sure this is the right side? Because it's such a hokey intro. But once it gets going, I mean, yeah, like it's total Chicago mid-tempo.
No, you skip the intro. I agree.
Oh, for sure.
They go well together.
Hell yeah, for sure. A lot of soul records this episode. Do I have anything that's like...
Yeah.
I don't know. We could do one more. What do we feel like playing?
Well, there was that alcohol record that was more of a, you know...
Let's go Titty with shaker. I don't remember what this sounds like. I think it's a funk record.
It looks late. Red, just by the label.
Red Light Records. It's kind of a cool looking label. Something the Devil's Never Done by Sammy Taylor and Hot as Hell.
You know, that'd be great in name that fake moldy oldie.
Yeah, that does not sound real. Yeah, I don't know. I picked this up. I earmarked it for you. It's in the Pat box. Oh, let's check it out. Let's do one more. Sam Taylor and Hot as Hell.
I can guarantee you I was born when that record was made. So that's early 70s, it's got, for sure.
72, I'd yeah. say. It's because, yeah, it's got like psychedelic-y guitar. The bass is very post-1970. But I find, like, the vocal delivery still sounds like it's from the 60s, though. It's kind of a weird one. It's, like, it's very much still, I find, like, it still has, like, R&B elements, but it's funky as hell. But, like, tell me a dance floor wouldn't get down to that. With that intro?
So my
Jenny, come on.
My final verdict, it's good.
It's good, eh?
Oh, yeah. So, it's funny. I was listening
cool
to
it. Cool label, too, eh?
And usually that, you know, modern in our sense of the word.
Modern, 50 years ago. Yeah.
I don't usually get into, except for this.
No, this is...
Cause, this is different.
And that's why I put it in your box, because I knew. I'm like, yeah, this is... Because it's modern, you know, when we talk about modern soul, it doesn't sound like that. Modern soul is very lush. Basically,
disco boogie.
It's disco. It's just a different way of saying disco. But this is like, because again, with funk music in general, like the bare bones of the music here, it's just a greasy R&B record that it was just made in 1972.
Because it's kind of record I think the guys from Cafe Got Soul would dig. So that's going to go in that record box.
Man,
it's almost
like you should make them listen to this episode.
Well,
Stroke their ego real good.
I might be wrong. I might be totally wrong. But I'm going to plug them.
Sure, why not? Knowing you, you'll be working there in like 2 weeks. hey! Listen. If you guys are listening, you own that place. He picks up cups when it's over, so you know he'll work for free.
I'll work for a cup of iced coffee.
Jesus, ooh, I could go for an iced coffee. I love a good iced coffee.
You know what I had this afternoon? I had bubble tea. Well, it's actually milk and the tapioca pearls of brown sugar. That was so good.
That sounds disgusting.
Oh, it was so good.
Wait, bubble tea. I had that once. It was like really, it was really sweet.
Yeah, it's sweet.
Ugh, too sweet. Yeah. No, and I don't know. Something about sipping and like, these balls in the back. Okay, I'll stop.
this sort of reminds me of a group that I really like, a local group. And the reason you haven't said hi to my wife when you walked in is that she's there. So right after the Jazz Fest here in Montreal.
Yeah.
Largest jazz festival in the world.
Is it? Yes. Well, I guess now it is, because it didn't used to be.
It's always been.
Wasn't Montreux in Switzerland like the biggest one back in the day? Anyway, or the Newport Jazz Festival. I think the Montreal, maybe in like the last 20 years, it's the biggest. Anyway, it's huge. Everyone knows it's Montreal for the Jazz Fest.
Following that, at the same time as the Comedy Fest.
Yeah, just for laughs right now.
Which is the largest comedy festival in
Montreal's
the world.
Cool, man. We have like a lot of cool stuff that happens in this town.
Because we're in...
Isn't there like an African festival?
Well, right now, at the same time as... Just for laughs.
Yeah.
There's the Festival des Nuits d'Afrique.
That's so right. Yeah,
African Nights.
That's been going on for like a while now. Oh. Right? Hmm. A couple of years.
At least a decade.
Okay, there you go. It's true. I forget that like 2012 was 10 years ago. Ugh, I'm going to be 30 in like... I'm going to be 30 in a month and a half. You've known me since I'm 16.
So we've known
We are getting to a point where you are going to have known me for over half of my life.
Wow, that's scary.
That's fucking crazy.
So my wife right now is at a show. She's at a show at the Festival des Nuits d'Afrique.
Don't tell me you didn't go just so we could record tonight. Were you going to go?
Yeah.
No, shit.
Yeah.
You could have told me we could have done another night. Actually.
You don't want to talk on air.
Can you not make, like, what time are they going on? You could probably still make, like...
No, she's been gone for a couple hours.
Whatever. My bad.
So, At least I've seen that.
What are they called again? Papa's Got a Brand New Bag or something?
No, Papa Groove.
Papa Groove.
So, you know what? I might just insert a little snippet of a Papa Groove track right here.
Playing the fool, let's bring it down today, and leave all superstitions real far away. We want it no more the feeling of being caught in a race. We want it all on the sable, the convicts at bay.
What I think, because you know how often I listen to episodes of our show.
The reason why I did that is because I think it's very similar to the
funky thing I just played.
To the record you just sold me, because it's sold.
Sold.
So they're really good.
And they're local?
Group? Local. They've been dormant for a few years, and I was surprised
Have you seen them before, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because I feel like I've heard you mention this.
I saw them at Let's Lip.
Yeah, I feel it's been a long time.
Well, the singer is a friend of ours.
Oh, cool. That's so funny. That's just so random. I just thought of this. I saw something about like Vintage Trouble recently. I don't know where. Somewhere online, I saw them like performing, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that band. Those guys were great. We saw them. Well, didn't you?
Yeah, I interviewed them.
You interviewed them, yeah, because I remember seeing them. Oh my god, and the singer was like up in the rafters. The guy was crazy.
Man. Yeah, he's a James Brown.
Yeah, reincarnated. I thought he was like the next Joe Tex. They were great. That was a great show. Anyway,
I think you know they fall into that category. Kinda. So I'll let the addicts decide
for sure. All right, addicts, it's time to go to bed. It's almost 10 o'clock. Wow. Yeah, so, it's true. Usually, yeah, I feel like we've been recording a lot in, like, the daytime. I can't remember the last time I was here, like, at night. I think I have to take advantage of being in the city at this hour and, like, probably go get a poutine at AA's or something. Oh, my God, I haven't had one of those. Man, the Italian poutine from that spot.
Well, down guess the where I'm going here? As soon as I press stop on this recording.
Of course. I read your mind.
You
was
did.
That what you were thinking?
Oh, I've been thinking that for the past few hours.
Man, you and I really are like two peas in a pod, man. That's
simpatico. Or simbenico.
Oh boy. That's a dad joke. All right, anyhow.
So
something to sail us off with?
Yeah. It's going to be a record from Henry.
Cool.
And I bought four records from him. Obviously, The Emotions was the big record. And the other three...
Well, there was one in the box, the Joe something. Joe Cook.
On Top.
Which you said was on my YouTube channel, apparently.
It is.
Hey, go figure.
And so when I was with Jason and Pat, I had them listen to what I picked up at Henry's. And Jason and Pat all went, oh, this is good. So I went, instead of featuring the other ones you just pulled out, I decided I'm going to feature this one instead. We're going to play the B-side. So it's a live soul dancer with some hand clapping from 1964. And just before you introduce it, well, the cat just...
What the fuck was that?
I don't know.
Okay. It scared the shit out of me. I thought someone was breaking in here. Holy
I think crap. The cat stepped on a plate or something.
Okay.
So just before you introduce it, Where can we find you, Ben?
Instagram, Shulman the Soul Man. Go ahead and like our Facebook page, Addicted to the Needle, the podcast where a vinyl blah, 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 blah meets. It's a lot of words. Buy records from me, the company sleeve on Discogs, and occasionally on eBay. And if you're ever looking for anything, I don't know, you can always just message me. Maybe I have it. Maybe I haven't sold it to Pat yet. Maybe you can beat him to it. I'm kidding, Pat. Where can we find you, Pat?
Find me, Park Avenue, everywhere.
Find him on the corner of Rose de Lima. And okay, anyway, I'll stop. Okay, Jimmy Hughes on Fame. What's the A side? I want justice. Is that the side we're playing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, did I? I think I showed you the A side. I want to play I Want Justice. Oh, I
love this song.
You do?
Oh, yeah, man. I want justice. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Add some hand clapping to that.
Oh, come on, man. Yeah, this is a classic.
So you that's why Jason and Pat reacted to this one.
For sure. I used to play this at Mod Club at Blizzard's. 12 years ago? Is that
already?
How many? God, yeah, man. This Jimmy Hughes is fantastic. I mean, you know, he's best known for his ballad hit from 1967, Why Not Tonight. But he's got so many good records. Well, he had a big hit in 1964 called Steal Away on VJ, which came out on Rio in Canada. And did a couple albums, and he did some 45s on Volt, like down at Stax. But
it's funny, this is the B side.
Yeah, what's the A side? I'm getting better. Who cares? no, it's all about this flip. Yeah, so this is like 66 Fame Records.
This is 64.
This is from. Yeah, no, you're right. It is from 64. Ben, how embarrassing. Fame Records, Muscle Shoals, Alabama, you know, one of the most famous soul labels and studios on the planet.
Even the Rolling Stones recorded there.
Everybody, Aretha, Etta James.
Respect was recorded there.
I think Respect was set in New York. Her first single for Atlantic, I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You, and Do Right Woman, Do Right Man, which is the B-side. Those were recorded at Muscle Shoals. Respect was done in New York City with her sisters singing backup vocals, Carolyn and Irma, who made great records themselves. Anyway, I'm getting so off track here, so we're going to end with this. I love this record. It's cheap. Everyone go buy a copy. I might even have like one for sale. I Want Justice, Jimmy Hughes on Fame. Thank you for listening.
And keep on keeping on.
I want justice, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
When you tell the cheating things you do, the judge will sign you guilty and the jury will do. What was your cheat gonna tell? I want justice, yeah, yeah, yeah. I want justice, yeah, yeah, yeah. I want just as many rights as you are giving me wrong. I think the court